Today is the feast of the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into heaven. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In the former book, O Theophilus, I spoke of all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day on which he was taken up, after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs during 40 days, appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while eating with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard, said he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. They therefore, who had come together, began to ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the very ends of the earth. And when he had said this, he was lifted up before their eyes, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing up to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white garments and said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, shall come in the same way as you have seen him going up to heaven. Please stand for the gospel. Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. Mark, chapter 16, verses 14 to 20. At that time, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were at table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and hardness of heart, in that they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. And these signs shall attend those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall get well. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the preaching by the signs that followed. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So on this day, approximately 2,000 years ago, all of the apostles and Blessed Mother and all of the disciples, the holy women, who were all there in the upper room, This was in the morning, around this time. And they were having breakfast. And this is during their breakfast that our Lord and Savior came as he had done so many times before during these 40 days. He came and sat down and had breakfast with them. This was not any longer meant to be a proof of his true bodily resurrection as he had done for them in the past. When he would say, do you have anything to eat so I can prove to you that this is my body? This morning was not like that. He sat down and he had breakfast with them for one reason only. That was just to show his love for them. It's a beautiful, beautiful event, beautiful thing. And he spoke with them. Just as an act of kindness, he had this last meal with them. And we are imagining that all the world was quiet. Everyone was watching. And by everyone, we mean all of the angels. Because we don't know for certain who was aware that this was going to take place. We are imagining our Blessed Mother knew that this was going to happen. And we are imagining that the angels knew. And since the angels are in charge of the universe, we are guessing that everything was quiet. This was the last moments of Christ's presence here on earth. And they knew what was going to happen. And so everything was quiet. Here on our property, in the morning, all morning long, there's a lot of noise because of all of our birds. So we were guessing that everything was quiet. Preparation and during this event. And all of the apostles and disciples, everything's silent. First of all, they were being rebuked because of their lack of faith. No one was defending himself. And even though they did not expect what was going to happen, they had a sense, the apostles and disciples, because our Lord and Savior, and by now, of course, they were paying attention to what he would say and knowing that something was going to happen. And so they had a sense that this was it. They didn't know exactly what he meant by that he was going to his Father. They knew something big was happening. And so we are guessing that even more than usual, they were wrapped in every word. Every turn of his head, every action, every single thing that he would say, they would remember for the rest of their lives, every detail. And so after he had spoken with them and eaten with them, and made his thanksgiving after their breakfast. He got up, and everyone got up with him, and they went for a walk, as you know. They walked about 1,000 yards, a little over half a mile. I believe it's St. Luke who tells us. one of the evangelists tells us about how far they walked. So little past Woodman, about that far. Walked through Jerusalem. And of course, this was getting close to the noon hour. We believe that this big event took place at noon. So they walked through the streets of Jerusalem, but our Lord and about 120 people. And of course, the people in Jerusalem, apart from his disciples, no one could see him. He was hidden from their sight. And they walked out, and then when our Lord ascended into heaven, before he left the earth, as you know, he left his footprints there on that rock from which he ascended. And he blessed them. So now we have this feast. Same day, 2,000 years later, we've had this feast for 2,000 years. On this day, this feast day has been celebrated. This comes right from the apostles, this day. And we have this on the word of St. Augustine, who tells us that the apostles gave us this feast day. Amazing. This essential dogma that we believe, that we know, and we must believe that Christ ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. This event sanctified this day. It wasn't the only one that did that. This is a holy day. Thursday, we are talking about. Not just Ascension Thursday. We're talking about Thursday. Thursday is a holy day because of this day. Not only because of that, you know, Thursday is also the day that we were given the holy priesthood, right? The holy sacrifice of the Mass and the Holy Eucharist, the center of our lives, the reason we get up in the morning, the purpose of our existence, the Holy Eucharist, is the reason why all of creation came about. The Holy Eucharist, which we have here now, on a Thursday. It's like a Sunday. It's almost more holy than Sunday. It's the day of the creation of the Mass and the Eucharist and the priesthood. Of course, the world does not pay attention to this. Even most lay people don't usually think of Thursday as a holy day. But we do. This is the reason why the clergy, religious, seminaries, have Thursday as their day off. It's a day that we were made, so to speak, the priesthood. was given to us on Thursday. But that's not all. This is, in a manner of speaking, today, the institution of the church. We know, of course, that the church was, we've heard this many times, the church was born on Pentecost Sunday, Holy Ghost coming down. This was the day that the church was born. But in a real way, we can say the church was instituted on this day because today we were given our mission. What did the apostles plan to do before this day? What was their plan? They had not been given any mission. They did not know that they would be given the greatest task ever. The conversion of the entire world. Every creature. Now, you know, of course, that our Lord and Savior by every creature meant every creature who has a body and soul. Every man, woman, and child. Every creature throughout the entire world we are responsible for. The Catholic Church. We were given the job to make the world Catholic. And we also say that this was the institution of the church because Christ said, those who believe and are baptized, so you have to do something. In addition to believing, you have to do something. Don't just, faith is not sufficient. Christ said, those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Now, he didn't say, those who believe one or two things, or those who believe some of what I have taught you, a little bit of it. Those who believe everything that I have taught you, you teach them everything that I have taught you, and those who believe everything will be saved. Now, who's going to determine everything that Christ taught us? Who's going to decide all of these dogmas if we don't have a church? If we don't have a church, we have total confusion. Everybody preaching to his brother what he thinks he must believe in order to be saved. But this is why we have an institution. Someone to decide what it is that we must believe to be saved. Pretty important. This is the Thursday was the day that the church was instituted, at least initially. So this is why these angels, these two angels, said to the apostles, why are you standing here looking up to heaven? It was as if they had said, do you not realize what was just said to you? That you are responsible for all men of all times? Everybody in the world. Why are you standing here? As the gospel says, all day idle. How long were they going to stand there looking up to heaven? So these angels were saying, get to work. What you have been given as your job, your privilege, will be impossible without the help of God, but you have to do it because God will help you. Convert the world. And notice our Lord says, preach the gospel. and those who believe will be saved. He doesn't mention, our Lord and Savior does not mention the Bible. He says, preach. That's for priests. Priests preach. So you see, as St. Augustine tells us, that without the Catholic Church, he says, to tell me, I would not believe that the Bible is any more than a book of fairy tales. St. Augustine said that, without the authority of the Church guiding me. So on this day, we know once and for all, even though we would have known it before if we had thought about it, God said it, that he desires the salvation of all men. Brethren, by the incarnation and the redemption, God sanctified the whole world, because he came down here. God, the Son, came down here on earth after Adam and Eve had destroyed everything. He came down here and he sanctified the whole world so that everything was, in a manner of speaking, made holy. He walked on our soil. He touched our grass. He walked on the grass. He touched water and made it valid matter for baptism. He breathed our air. God breathed the air that you and I breathe. So he made everything holy. That doesn't mean that he didn't make some things holier than others. Because even though he is present at all times everywhere, he is especially present in some places, isn't he? Some times are holier than others. He made noon special. He had already sanctified midnight twice over. Now he made noon especially holy. He had already been crucified, hadn't he, at noon. And so now he sanctifies finally this hour of noon, because everything is holy, but some things are holier than others. Some people are holier. Little Flower said, everything is a grace. That's what she was referring to. As a matter of fact, the Carmelites, because of this day, because of this event at noon, they pray, they make a holy hour at noon on this day. And the reason he chose noon was because the sun is straight overhead. It's the most glorious time of the day, isn't it? And so he chose this time to enter into his glory, as if this was noon in heaven. It was stupendous. This was possibly the biggest event ever that would ever take place. Certainly the resurrection was glorious, but that wasn't the final glory that Christ would enter into. This was it. This day. This was the day that our Lord and Savior, the Son of God, our Redeemer, entered into his glory and received the reward for all that he had done here on earth, all that he had suffered. the redemption for us and for his Father. It was stupendous. It was prepared for since the beginning of time. So we know that when Christ entered into his glory, there were a quasi-infinite number of angels singing. And God knows what else they were doing. If it is a big event when we have a ticker tape parade here on earth, imagine what the angels had prepared for their God. It was the most that they had ever sung. And in addition to this, we have undoubtedly millions of souls who went to heaven with Christ, adding to his glory. And not just souls, but bodies. We know that St. Joseph, we believe, it's not a dogma, we believe that St. Joseph had his body. And that's not all. Because we believe that it says in the gospel that other people, other saints, were seen at the time of the resurrection. Those who had risen from the dead with Christ. And so they had their bodies. We don't know how many of them. We don't know who they were. But they were seen in Jerusalem. And so those people went to heaven with their bodies, with Christ, also singing. And what can we say of Jesus himself? Entering in for the first time into the Blessed Trinity, the glory of God. Jesus, God and man, the first time a man was part of the Trinity. It is sublime beyond our understanding. It is completely indescribable. What it was like when the Son of God entered into his glory. It was so great that this one single moment, instant, was sufficient to give infinite joy to every creature for eternity. Just this one event. Imagine that. God, so to speak, coming home. Our Lord and Savior must have been thinking of this when he told the story of the prodigal son coming back and his father falling on him. But this was not all, because, brethren, this was us. This was part of our redemption. We were not only redeemed by Christ dying on the cross, were we? Because we are told by the church, fathers and doctors of the church, that the resurrection was essentially part of our redemption. Because the Son of God was not only the instrumental and the efficient cause of our redemption, but the exemplary cause. So whatever he did in him. When he entered into the glory of his Father, that was us. We wish we could read to you the sermon of St. Leo the Great from this day. It is magnificent. He says, "Rejoice, brethren. We, you and I, on this day have entered into the glory of God." We paraphrase, of course. We have entered into the glory. He said, thank God for the happy fault of Adam and Eve and the goodness of God. Thank God, because before that, we were only promised the happiness of heaven. That's all, just the eternal happiness of heaven. But after our redemption, he says, we were taken to the pinnacle of heaven itself on this day in Christ. The pinnacle of heaven. Is that not beautiful? The theme for today, we have to close up here. The theme for today is in the collect, says something like that, grant that those of us who believe that the Son of God entered into his glory may also dwell there in heaven in our hearts. And we want to remind you also that this event is, we are reminded of it every day at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We have told you this in the past. We repeat just to remind you that when the priest gives the last blessing at Mass, that is the ascension. And we believe that even though our Lord and Savior blessed many people and many things during his lifetime, says he blessed the bread. We don't know what for certain that means, but we believe that he was blessing it with the sign of the cross. He blessed the little children. How did he bless them? We believe he used the sign of the cross. But on this day, it says, and we believe that this was the first time he had done this, that he had lifted up his hands as a priest does before a blessing. It says he lifted up his hands. We believe that's the first time he did that on this day. And so at the last blessing at every Mass, that's the ascension. And it's also something else. And if you've never sensed this, we are sorry for you. That is the end of time. Because at the end of time, we will all be blessed in the same manner by God. Final blessing. Just like at Mass. And hopefully on this day, we will all be given the blessing that was given to this pilgrim. We are told this story by St. Bernardine. This pilgrim who went to the Holy Land, and he visited all the places that Christ had gone. So he went to Bethlehem where Christ was born, and then he went to all of the places that Christ went to, Son of God. And he ended up on the Mount of the Ascension. And he got down on the ground and he was kissing the footprints of Christ. And he was weeping and praying. And he was given the grace to go straight to heaven at that moment because of his love of God and his desire for his more than just his heart to be there with God. May God bless you.